Welcome to Sports from the Couch.
I gotta say, it's the stupidest thing in sports.
With your host, Mike Mercado.
Players cannot stand them. Coaches cannot stand them. Most importantly, the fans can't stand them.
Brought to you by Mercado Airways.
I'm gonna say it once, and hopefully I'm wrong, but it's a disaster waiting to happen.
That is so bad, that is absolutely brutal.
What's going on, Christian? What's going on, strong side?
I'm here, left side. I'm here. It's been a while since we've done this, but I'm back. And this, man, thank you so much for having me on.
Absolutely. How are things over at the website and getting ready for the NFL draft? How have you been handling it down? I mean, it's been a crazy offseason.
Yeah, it really has. It's been an entertaining offseason at that, to say the most. It's been fun releasing the mock drafts, and I did finally get a page up on Instagram. Make sure you guys go follow that on Instagram, @thedailyblitz_61. That's where I'll be posting everything that's going on within the website. You'll catch my IGTV series on there, What's on Tap, things about the merchandise line. We still got to get you a shirt, man.
I got to get you a shirt too. And speaking of that,
and we'll do like one of those jersey swaps.
Yeah, that's right. Although we won't be like Kyrie, right, and we won't get a fine from the NBA, so we should be fine.
Right.
You know what? Before we talk NFL, I mean, how crazy is that Paul Pierce story?
Gotta watch what you do, man. I mean, for 315 views, you lost it all, really, Paul. But he doesn't really seem bothered by it. Well, you know, if he's not bothered by it, I don't care.
Yeah, when you've made $200 million in the NBA, I don't think you're going to be crying too much after a night of poker and strippers. You know what? The thing to me is, like, I don't know if he gets fired if it was like a picture or anything. I think the fact that it was live streamed for like 16 minutes is what did it. It's just weird, though, because he wasn't doing anything illegal as far as I could see in the video.
Nah, he wasn't, but I'm sure there's one of those claims in there, or those clauses in the contract, you can't do this, you can't do that, and if you do, you will be terminated. So,
especially with the Disney company,
he probably read the fine print.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it's funny though. I mean, all the reasons we wanted to get rid of Paul Pierce from that broadcast, and it was this that finally did it in. But Christian, you know what? Enough fun, enough BS. You know why we're here. I'm trying to stall as much as I can because I'm about to get very angry. We got a lot of things we got to talk about. We got to talk about, you know, the draft that's coming up. We got to talk about some of the news of retirements and players being on the move. But first thing I wanted to get into is QB1. That's right, QB1. I don't know what they're doing over in Hallis Hall, but just everything that we've seen from this offseason, and now that we've seen the Sam Darnold trade, and knowing all the drama that's going on with Deshaun Watson, and knowing a lot of stuff that we haven't heard from Seattle, a very frustrating offseason for the Chicago Bears. What have been your thoughts and your vibes about this team heading into the draft?
I was shocked that they went and got Andy Dalton. I really was. Look, it's no knock on Andy, but he really hasn't been the same guy since Cincinnati. I just don't know if he's the type of guy that's going to really put the Chicago Bears over the top and into that division. I still think this is a middle of the pack type of team. You know, it's a very competitive NFC, not just the North as a whole, but I'm talking about the conference overall. And it seems like this Bears team has everything. They have the running game. Offensive line could be improved, and maybe they'll look into that come draft time. The defense is still one of the best in the league, but it's the quarterback that's really holding this team back. Good quarterback play obviously takes you a long way.
So when you lose somebody like Kyle Fuller, though, and, you know, you see that your defense is at this level where it was a few years ago, but at this point, like we know in the NFL, the cliff, the drop-off is really fast, and it's instant. And I'm wondering, as we get to the start of the season, is how much does this defense has left? I love Khalil Mack. I think the Bears won that trade with the Raiders. But the point is, we're in 2021 going into 2022. There's going to be a drop back from this team, and we've already seen it. So at what point is it that your strongest part of your team is actually just kind of mediocre?
Yeah, that's a good question. And you know what? I'll say this. That Bears defense, if they struggle, they deserve to here and there. They give up a big play. Okay, that's common. Every defense does it. But this Bears defense has kept them in a majority of their games because their offense can't hold on to the ball. The defense gets three and outs. Offense gets the ball back, and they can't do much with it.
So I guess now, as we move forward, kind of getting away from just the defense, let's kind of look at what's happening on the offensive side of the ball with Andy Dolan specifically. You're talking about this defense has held up their part of the bargain, okay? And we saw at these this press conference this past Friday that they completely ran over Mitch Trubisky, and we're seeing that a Matt Nagy-led offense is going to be the thing now. He's going to be calling the plays again. I'm at a point right now where if you're Allen Robinson, why would you want to be here? I mean, obviously the guaranteed money is going to keep you here, and you watch your contract. There's only so many contracts you get in the NFL. But with that, this growth, whatever offensive genius guru that you were getting from Kansas City has not worked. And have anything, you've seen regression. You've seen regression from a lot of these players. And I don't know where you go from here. If you're somebody like Allen Robinson, if you're somebody like David Montgomery, if you're Darnell Mooney, like what his progression and his development is going to be like at this point with a coach on the hot seat, a placement quarterback, and, you know, we'll get into what I think they're going to do in the draft, but I mean, there's nowhere to go with this offense.
No, there really isn't. And here's the one thing I'll say about Matt Nagy. You and I have talked about this off the microphone. We've talked about it on the radio, but if you think about it, Matt Nagy came in, and we'll talk about this a little later too, but new coaches come into a team and they want to establish things their own way. Matt Nagy hasn't necessarily had that, if you really think about it, because he came in, had Mr. Trubisky. He was the previous coach in his experiment. So now it just hasn't worked between Matt and Mitch. Now Mitch is backing up Josh Allen at East Orchard for the Buffalo Bills. Now you bring in Andy Dalton. I don't know how this is going to work out.
And this is my big issue, and we'll go a little bit more national in a second, but my biggest issue is, okay, you're bringing back this regime, and we hear McCaskey, and we hear Phillips, and we hear everybody talking about Ryan Pace as our football guy. But Ryan Pace is the same guy that brought in Mike Glennon, drafted Mitch Trubisky, brought in Nick Foles, brought in Andy Dalton. Not only bringing these guys in, he's given up capital for them. He's given up money for them. And at no point, you see what Carolina did for a guy who was a top draft pick, who still has potential, who's still in his mid-20s. You still have the illusion of there might be something there that we can figure out because he's been a Jet for a few years. That's not what's happening with this Bears team. And the fact that Ryan Pace gets another crack at this getting a quarterback, a franchise, you've not only done all that, you missed on Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes. You went up. So at what point, how is he allowed to make another decision? That's what's confusing me and frustrating me the most.
I'll say this. If I think this is a make or break year for the Chicago Bears, it's a make or break year for Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace. And if they don't succeed or get to where they feel they can be, they're out of there. That's the way I'm looking at this.
What's interesting though is we haven't heard anything about their contracts either, right? Like, we don't, anywhere else in the NFL, we hear how many years are left in one of these guys' deals. We're not hearing that from this front office.
Right, we're not. But, you know, I kind of look at the Bears right now and they need an energy guy on that defense. It just seems like that team doesn't buy in to what it is that Matt Nagy does. You know, look at New England. I know Belichick has an unorthodox way of coaching at times, but his players leave it all out on the field for him. You know, you look at a guy like a Bruce Arians. They play hard for him in Tampa Bay. Mike Vrabel in Tennessee, in Nashville. You know, they play hard for him. They leave it on the field. You can't necessarily say that about the Chicago Bears. And one thing that I noticed a lot last year with the Chicago Bears was they played with a defeated mentality. When they were down, they stayed down. They did not try to get themselves back into games.
And this is why, and we could talk about your mock draft and how you're feeling, and this will be our transition into it, but this was my big problem with Bears fans not wanting to go all in with the Russell Wilson trade, whatever that was worth. This is where, and this is my mindset towards it. We've seen every credible mock draft that the first 5, 6, 7 picks are going to be quarterbacks. And in that range, 4 or 5 of them will be a quarterback in those 7 picks. The Bears weren't going to trade up from 20 to move up. So the point being is your first round picks meant nothing. And the idea that all of a sudden the team that doesn't know how to draft well to begin with, Kevin White, you're now going to all of a sudden pick the right quarterback at pick 20? I mean, in your opinion, when you've seen the offer that was made or that was reported, I mean, that was a no-brainer when it comes to the Bears. Like, you're not going to go up and get Mac Jones.
No, you're not. And look, I love Mac Jones and things like that, but he might be gone before it's funny. I'll be very surprised if he's sitting there, because I've seen a couple of mocks where they have the New Orleans Saints trading up to get him because they're in the quarterback market right now. You know, I think now it's kind of like a future rebuild for the New Orleans Saints of some sorts. And I know that's something we're going to talk about as well. But this, to me, I'll say this. The draft now officially starts at pick number 3, because I think we know who the first overall pick is going to be in Trevor Lawrence. And the Jets are really buying in on Zach Wilson out of BYU. So the draft now officially starts at pick number 3, Mikey.
So are you comfortable with Jacksonville and the Jets going there? Do you think there's going to be any buyer remorse? I mean, we've seen some awesome video from Wilson. Obviously, we have the track record of Lawrence. So where are you? Do you think that kind of it matches up to where they should be going?
Yeah, definitely. Because you look at Jacksonville, Jacksonville hasn't really had a franchise quarterback. They've had a plethora of quarterbacks come in and out. It's almost been like a quarterback carousel. David Garrard was pretty good. You know, I'm not going to knock that. Byron Leftwich was pretty good. Now look at him. He's calling the plays for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's an offensive coordinator. They put all their marbles in on Blaine Gabbert, and look how that panned out. Blake Bortles had that one solid year, but he had a solid running game to lean on and a defense that was opportunistic and that could get him the football back. But after that, it hasn't really looked good for them. Gardner Minshew hasn't really stood out. I know Jay Glutton started a couple games last year for the Jacksonville Jaguars. No, they need a guy that's going to put people into the seats. They don't have that.
What are your feelings about Urban Meyer making the jump from college to the NFL?
You know, I think it's well, I think I kind of expected this. I kept saying to myself, if he is going to coach again, it's going to be at the next level, which is the National Football League, because you look at his track record in college, in the words of DJ Khaled, all the man has done is win. Bowling Green never put up a losing record. Put Utah on the map. Florida is where he really took off because they won back-to-back championships, and he produced the Heisman quarterback in Tim Tebow. Then he gets to Ohio State, and look at how relevant they were. I don't think Ohio State's won a championship since he left. So it's, you know, I think this is well-deserved. I think if there's anybody who can command the attention of a locker room full of men, both older players and younger players, it's him. I just wonder, is he healthy enough, Mikey? Because I know he's had some health issues, and the football season can take a toll on people. But I like it. I'm glad he's back coaching. He means a lot to the game of football.
He's one of our best friends on the entire media world. He's one of the best guys in the entire industry. He does all the damn work. He does this. He covers the NFL, college football, and everything that you can imagine like a blanket. Follow our man Christian Simpson on Twitter at NYSFinest90. You can follow the brand, the network, the Daily Blitz on Twitter at DailyBlitz_61. And, of course, now on Instagram at TheDailyBlitz_61. And you can check out all the latest work, including the trade that we're going to talk about in just a second, at TheDailyBlitz.blog. He's always got some awesome work, especially as we start revving up this time of year. With that, your thoughts of the trade that we saw between the Jets and the Panthers that sends a young quarterback, a high draft pick that hasn't definitely lived up to any of the potential, but what can you say when you have a coach like, you know, he did in New York? So your thoughts on the Sam Darnold to the Carolina Panthers trade?
Well, one thing I'll say for everybody who's going to listen to this, when a new head coach comes in, he wants his own. Similar to what I just said about Matt Nagy. And it's no disrespect to Sam Darnold, but that's just how the business operates. And Robert Saleh's coming in. He wants his own guy. He wants to be able to develop his own quarterback. And look, Sam Darnold's not a bad quarterback. This is a guy that can make all the reads, gets rid of the ball quickly. He's tough. He can escape. He can, you know, he can move around, make throws on the run, place the ball only to where his intended receiver can get it. I think he's actually going to do really well in Carolina because he goes in there and he already has better there than he did during his entire tenure with the New York Jets. Name one guy who he could consistently lean upon when he was with the Jets.
A guy that he's going to consistently lean on now in Robbie Anderson.
Okay, that's one. And now
he's got him in Carolina. Yeah.
Right. He has him back. There's DJ Moore. And then it doesn't help when you have, when he's healthy, a top five running back in Christian McCaffrey. So I think a change of scenery is going to do him really well. I think he's going to be really well. Now, I'm not saying Carolina's going to make the playoffs because the NFC is stacked. I mean, look at their division. They have two teams that are better than them still. Tampa Bay, New Orleans. You have the Rams, you have Seattle, you have Green Bay. So I don't really know where I would sandwich Carolina into that mix of teams in the NFC.
Who is better? Is it Teddy Bridgewater or is it Sam Darnold?
Wow. Wow. Come on, man. You're going to really put me on the spot like that?
Let me add one to you then, okay? Because they've all been in the carousel together. Who is better of the three? Andy Dalton, Teddy Bridgewater, or Sam Darnold?
Oh, man. You know, I think when Teddy is in the right system, he flourishes. You know, Sean Payton used him perfectly. And Teddy Bridgewater, to me, is like an Alex Smith. He's going to stay within his box. He's not going to throw the ball 40 and 45 times a game. That's just not him. They just need him to control things. Or as the Hall of Famer Randy Moss says, Teddy Two Gloves. That's his nickname. Teddy Two Gloves. Andy Dalton, look, he had great regular seasons, but could just never really put it together in the playoffs when it mattered most. I don't think he won a playoff game for the Cincinnati Bengals. And then Sam Darnold, we really haven't seen much of what he can do. He's still a young guy, and he's still trying to find his niche within the NFL.
So, I mean, we could kind of just stay around this this subject matter. And you have the Falcons at four. And we've seen a lot of different maneuvers going on. Where do you think the Falcons are going to? You have Matt Ryan. I thought he was going to be on the move. I really thought there was a chance that the Bears were going to be in on a Matt Ryan. But obviously that contract, as expensive as it is. How do you feel that the Dirty Birds are going to be?
I'm kind of surprised that they're keeping Matt Ryan. Things haven't really been the same for them ever since they were in the Super Bowl, because it seems like, look, they get to the playoffs the following year, and ever since then, they haven't made it. You know, I look at Atlanta, and I almost think it's time to rebuild at this point. Matt Ryan, he's past his prime at this point. Julio Jones, still slightly in his physical prime a little bit, but to me, this is almost kind of like becoming like Calvin Johnson in a way. Great talent on mediocre and struggling teams. Calvin Ridley has been good for them. The running back situation, it's been so because Todd Gurley, he just can't stay healthy. I think that knee is truly giving up on him. And then their defense really needs a lot of help as well. Now you bring in Arthur Smith, and I think he's an offensive-minded guy. And I really thought they were going to go in the direction of a quarterback. But the Atlanta Falcons can still draft that quarterback for the future. Maybe later on in the draft, because who knows how much longer Matt Ryan has.
Does Russell Wilson and or Deshaun Watson get moved come first night of the draft?
No, I don't think so. Look, man, I'll get rid of Pete Carroll and John Schneider and all those guys before I get rid of Russell Wilson. Wilson single-handedly put this team on the map.
Amen. I mean, you let Russ cook. I would give anything up.
Look, come on, man.
I don't understand this argument that's happening here in Chicago. It was a subgroup of people, but this idea of you wouldn't literally give up the entire farm for Russell Wilson. Look, you've lost doing it this way. Maybe try losing it with a Hall of Fame quarterback. I mean, that's right. Like that idea of like you don't want Russell Wilson on your team. It's unfathomable to me.
Yeah, it really is. And Russell Wilson's in the prime of his career. Still. Right now, these last 2 years, you've really seen what he's capable of doing. I remember a guy coming into the league back in 2012 and solely depending on his running game. Now, he can take the game into his hands. The only thing that just concerns me, they got to put more around him, especially on that offensive line.
Yeah, offensive line-wise, they definitely do. But when it comes to those wideouts, those absolutely animals that he have. I mean, he's got that on lockdown. But it's going to be interesting to see. I don't think he gets moved, but it's really weird that between him and Aaron Rodgers, there's a chance that two of Hall of Fame quarterbacks, two of the best the NFC I've ever seen, could be on the move next offseason. But before we get to next offseason, we kind of do you have any final thoughts on the draft itself? Are you looking for anything in particular? Do you see this as a chalk type of draft, or do you think we're going to see some wild stuff?
I think we're going to see some wild stuff like we always do every draft. You know, one memory I think of a trade happening 14 years ago, actually, this month. The New England Patriots traded for some wide receiver. I think you know him, Randy Moss, and the rest is history.
To me, pretty good.
To me, that year in New England was what made him a Hall of Famer.
Oh, interesting. I mean, you don't think he was a Hall of Famer before he went to New England?
I think he was, but I think that pretty much signed, sealed, and delivered everything in him getting that gold jacket, and now he's the recipient of one. I mean, we knew he was going to be one of the probably three best wide receivers I've ever seen play this game. He was athletic. He was the guy you had to circle in on, and I mean, when your last name is a bird, you know you've done something right. You got Moss. Shout out to Randy, by the way.
Man, there was nobody like him. As a Bears fan, to see him absolutely destroy the Bears, the Lions, and the Vikings 8 times a year, I mean, it was like Calvin Johnson. I mean, obviously different type of players, but just the dominance. It's like you couldn't do anything against them. They were just going to get whatever they wanted. And do you think there's anybody like that in this draft that's going to be that type of impact player that's going to get whatever they want, whenever they want, 2-3 years from now, like we've seen from like a Patrick Mahomes, for example?
I do, and he goes by the name of Devontae Smith from the Alabama Crimson Tide. He's the closest thing I've seen to another future Hall of Fame wide receiver. We just mentioned Randy. You mentioned Calvin Johnson, and congrats to Calvin Johnson on getting that gold jacket. Well-deserved. Humble guy. Love what he did. But with Devontae Smith reminds me a lot of Marvin Harrison. Small guy, but yet explosive, and plays bigger than what he is. When he wants the ball, he's going to find a way to get it. And he put together, in my opinion, the best season I've ever seen from a wide receiver at the collegiate level. Whenever he wanted something, he made it happen. I mean, he tore apart the Ohio State Buckeyes at a national championship game in January.
Does his size worry you at all? I mean, the fact that it is going to be a very physical game?
No, it doesn't. I mean, look, some of the best wide receivers I've seen over the last couple years, they've been smaller guys. Look at Steve Smith Sr., all heart, no height. You know, look at a guy like a Doug Baldwin, all heart, no height. You look at a guy like Marvin Harrison, playing with Peyton Manning. He was Peyton Manning's trusted target for so many years, and he's in the Hall of Fame now. I think Devontae is going to be great for this league.
Yeah, it's Steve Smith's a grown man. I don't care if he's 5'9", that's a grown man.
He's a grown man.
I mean, I'm really excited to see how this plays out. I don't think the Bears – I actually think the Bears are going to move down. I don't think they're going to stay at 20. I don't think they're going to move up. I think it's going to be a very, like, conservative, let's get more picks. Let's try to, like, ease this landing as much as we can. But we'll see. I mean, that would make a little sense, and I don't know if they have a lot of that over at House Hall right now.
Right,
but, we need to talk about this. The new schedule. We know it was going to happen. Dan Patrick has been talking about this forever. Gamblers, fans, fantasy football players, everybody's been excited about an extended season. But at what cost? And kind of the watered down that's going to be this, because if you're just replacing a preseason game and, you know, the players are not into it, I mean, what are we doing here? So your initial thoughts of the extended season, and how do you think this is going to play out in the long run?
One, surprised that it finally happened, because they have been talking about this for years and years. And I know the NFL has played a 16-game schedule every year since 1979, if I'm not mistaken. The matchups are intriguing. Like, I mean, we could get Rodgers versus Mahomes for a final game of the year. I like how they did that format, because every team who finished in first place in the NFC is playing every team that finished in first place in the AFC.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Fourth. But, you know, I know a lot of players aren't happy about it. Me, what I would have done, I would just get rid of the preseason as a whole. I just think it's meaningless, because at what point do you want guys getting in and then they get hurt and then they're lost for some couple of points, some few months of the season, or maybe the entire year.
So I don't have the exact science. I don't know if they've actually done an exact type of study for this, but it just seems to me that we see a lot of, like, muscle injuries and a lot of, like, hammies and, like, joint stuff if we don't get a lot of preseason action. If we go from 0 to 60, I mean, these guys are Ferraris and their bodies are temples, and I do think playing the most violent sport without some form of exhibition to kind of get that those first few impacts in, I don't know if there's actual logistics to it. I don't know if that's just something we say in media and players say as just locker room talk, but I don't know if you can go without some form of a preseason exhibition type of thing.
Yeah, I don't think we can either. And what I think of, as you were saying that, remember that week two this past season?
Yeah.
All the big we lost. Mm-hmm. We lost Saquon Barkley to a torn ACL. We lost Nick Bosa to a torn ACL. Solomon Thomas, if I'm not mistaken, also tore his ACL. Just so many injuries just really took place that one week in the NFL last season.
And then it doesn't help that with all the protocols, I mean, it was about safety, but this idea of, like, you know, you couldn't be in the locker rooms and you couldn't have so many practices and there was only so much treatment you could do. There was a lot of different X factors. So it's going to be really interesting to see how the evolution of that kind of goes into this season. And I mean, the one drawback that I think the NFL had last year is they waited so long to kind of just put everything into motion. By the time we knew it, it was already kickoff for week one. But I think this year they kind of have a better idea of where they're going to go. They have last year under their belt. So I'm interested to see how that moves forward. And now with this new wrinkle, so you're living through the pandemic. I mean, you know, people are getting vaccinated right now, but you're still in the pandemic. And now you've added an extra game. So I wonder if how much more money they must be making if they're really to take that type of risk.
Oh, of course. Of course it's about money. I mean, that's the motive. You remember what Wu-Tang said.
Look, I mean, they don't have to be so blatant about it, though. I mean, at least Wu-Tang made some good music, you know. But I don't need Roger Goodell giving me, you know, the runaround and telling me it's about player safety.
Right, exactly. So I'm really curious to see how this is going to pan out. They've been talking about it for so long. It's officially happened. But I know a lot of players are not happy. I know Alvin Kamara really voiced his displeasure about this.
So, I mean, we can kind of go a little bit forward because we'll see how that all kind of just plays forward. But speaking of Alvin Kamara, we had Drew Brees retire. Phillip Rivers has left the game. I mean, what are your thoughts about this new guard of player coming in and some of these guys that we're losing that, you know, we grew up watching and we're big fixtures in the sport? It's a new year coming up in the NFL.
Yeah, it is. First, let's start with Phillip Rivers. What an unbelievable career he had.
Broke my heart more than any other quarterback that never played for the Bears. Right. You know how many times I picked San Diego to go all the way? You know how many times? You know how many times LT was supposed to win me a pool? Man.
Nah, man, but when I look at, you know, when I look at Phillip Rivers, he's one of the toughest guys I think I've ever seen. This is the same guy in 2008 in an AFC championship game against a then undefeated New England Patriots team playing on a torn ACL. That just goes to show you how much he left it all out on the field. We could talk about the awkward throwing motion, but look, that man got the football to his receivers in the best way. And then you look at who he replaced as well, because everybody thought Drew Brees was going to be the guy for San Diego. And then he ends up getting hurt. He ends up leaving the Chargers. The Chargers end up banking on Phillip Rivers. But here's the thing about Phillip that a lot of people don't realize. He was in his prime. He was arguably in the toughest, and I mean the toughest, conference at that time, because that was the time when Brady was running things with New England and Peyton Manning's running things with Indianapolis and Denver, if you're going to be accurate. And Ben Roethlisberger was coming up here and there in between with the Pittsburgh Steelers, so he could never really get over the hump. He could beat Indianapolis. He just always seemed to run into Tom Brady and the New England Patriots at that time, along with Ben Roethlisberger and the Pittsburgh Steelers. He goes to Indianapolis last year. I actually interviewed a beat writer for the Indianapolis Colts. His name is George Bremer. I interviewed him last summer before the season started, and I asked him, what has been the reception for Phillip Rivers coming into Indianapolis? And they said, look, they love this guy. he's a true, not just historian of the game, but he's extremely smart and knowledgeable. Young wide receiver Michael Pittman said he learned more from Phillip at that time in about 2 months about football, just the ins and outs of the game and where to be and how to do this and how to do that on a more consistent basis than he did when he was at USC. Ryan Kelly, offensive lineman, said, yeah, he's just such a knowledgeable dude to be around. He was a breath of fresh air within that locker room. Look, he had a great career. I think he's a Hall of Famer. I don't know if he'll get in on the first ballot. He's going to make it because he's fifth all time on the touchdown passing list. Anytime you're ranked in the top 10 of a major statistical category, you're going to get in. And then Drew Brees, I mean, what a career. What a career. And I'm going to be honest with you, man. I kind of took this one hard because, you know, I have relatives in New Orleans. My late grandfather, God rest his soul, was a Saints fan. I actually went out to New Orleans in 2006, the year Drew signed with the Saints. And there was just a buzz around the city. Oh, we got a quarterback now. We've never had a quarterback. We got a new head coach now. Every head coach we've had back then hasn't really got the job. And these two, they created magic in New Orleans. Drew Brees is going to go in to the Hall of Fame as a Saint. He broke and set every record with the Saints, but one of the greatest quarterbacks I've ever seen. Heart over height. Wasn't the biggest guy, but he was a leader. The consistency, the leadership, when he spoke, you listened to him, and he did it with class. That's the one thing I really have to give him a lot of credit for. I mean, and he will be missed. His last season kind of reminded me a lot of Peyton Manning's final year. Just the arm strength was diminishing.
Yeah, I mean, diminishing or completely gone at that point. Like, it was bad, you know, and just to see him, it would have been nice to maybe get that dream Super Bowl or those matchups that we never really got to see. Like, I don't know if we're ever going to see, we'll never see it now, but like the idea of seeing Tom Brady versus Aaron Rodgers in a Super Bowl, we're never going to get to see that. We're never going to see Tom Brady versus Drew Brees in a Super Bowl, so on and so forth. The interesting, I guess, devil's advocate or the argument for Phillip Rivers, and this isn't necessarily something I believe in, but this is the argument I hear a lot of people say is, can you be a Hall of Famer if you were never the best at your position and the best in your sport? And I don't know if that's necessarily true because the Hall of Fame is filled with a bunch of people that aren't the best in their sport. But if that's the litmus test, then like Michael Jordan's the only Hall of Famer ever.
Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of guys who are in that weren't necessarily considered the best at their position. You know, one guy I think of, look, if Troy Aikman is in the Hall of Fame, Phillip Rivers is getting into the Hall. Let's just be real, okay?
Is Eli Manning a Hall of Famer?
Yes, he is, because he's seventh all-time on the all-time touchdown passing list. That's number one. Two, look at the man's last name. That's going to get him in. And three, in my opinion, he has the most impressive Super Bowl win over that I've ever seen. He beat an undefeated New England Patriots team with a prime Tom Brady.
Yeah, I mean, that's a nice notch on your belt. But theoretically, Nick Foles got a win over Tom Brady in the Super Bowl, though. I mean, we got to be fair about that.
Yeah, we do. But look, man, Eli to me, you know, I remember that first playoff run. Tiki Barber said, Eli's not a leader. And what did Eli do? He just quietly went about his business, gets a win on the road in Tampa Bay, goes to Dallas following week, beats the best team in the NFC that year in the Dallas Cowboys, then goes to Green Bay and beats a now Hall of Famer. And that ended up being his final game with the Green Bay Packers and Brett Favre. Then he gets to the Super Bowl and does what nobody thought could happen. Everybody just gift wrapped that Super Bowl to the New England Patriots. And I'll even throw you another name about Phillip Rivers being a Hall of Famer. Look at Kurt Warner. But Kurt Warner's numbers were pretty good for that short period of time. Phillip has the longevity over Kurt, but Kurt Warner was no slouch. I mean, MVPs, yeah, anchor MVP of that quarter, anchor of that offense, the greatest show on turf with the Rams, brings the Arizona Cardinals to a Super Bowl. So one thing I will say about the Hall of Fame is this, and Deion Sanders kind of made a good point about it. He said, look, I don't know, the Hall of Fame, it just doesn't seem like it's exclusive anymore.
I wonder how much of that is, I mean, it's a philosophical question. I wonder how much of it too is just, the game is finally getting older. You know, it's not like baseball where it's 100 years old. You know, it's not professional boxing. And it's not like the Naismith that's all of basketball. It's like the NFL and Canton, Ohio was sacred because, what, we started letting people in the 50s? And it's like now we're getting to the point we have generations of players in there.
Yeah, that's true. One thing I will say, these last couple of years, the Hall of Fame classes, they've been stacked. I mean, yeah. I think of that 2018 class. And, God, look, we're around the same age, Mike. Mm-hmm. So, look, Ray Lewis, you knew he was a lock to get in. Brian Urlacher, I think we kind of knew he was going to be a lock to get in as well. Randy Moss, Brian Dawkins, Terrell Owens, just to name a few. Then the following year, Ed Reed, locked to get in. In my opinion, he's the greatest safety I've ever seen.
Yeah. I agree.
Tony Gonzalez, locked to get in. Maybe greatest tight end I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, Champ Bailey, locked. And if people say Champ Bailey didn't deserve to get in, they really didn't watch football. Because I'll tell you, before Revis, before Sherman, before Patrick Peterson, before Stephon Gilmore, there was Champ Bailey. He was that lockdown guy. Wish he just could have won a Super Bowl. He's one of my favorite players of all time. Troy Polamalu got in with the 2020 class. And then you look at this class this year. Calvin Johnson, Alvin Fanica, John Lynch, well-deserved. Drew Pearson, finally, well-deserved. And then the two guys that I think we knew were going to be the locks to get in. That's Peyton Manning himself. I mean, we saw this coming years ago when he was with the Indianapolis Colts. And then Charles Woodson, I mean, what a career he had. So those two were definitely the locks going into this year's Hall of Fame class.
So as we kind of start getting this bad boy back into the stable, what are you kind of feeling heading into what's going to be this summertime? We're going to get through the draft, and are you feeling a certain team is already kind of having those vibes? I mean, some years when Tom Brady got to Tampa Bay, right away we all started kind of having that feeling. It's like, all right, this doesn't feel normal. Do you have any inclination? Are you vibing anywhere with like a team in the NFL right now that, they're interesting? Let's see what they do come draft night. There's something brewing down there.
Yeah, I'm going to say the Indianapolis Colts because...
It's interesting you say that. So let's talk about, what did you think about this move to get Carson Wentz? And where do you think they're a team that was close and they had a potential Hall of Fame quarterback. Do you think this is the team ready to make that leap into that Buffalo Bills, Kansas City reign?
I do. I think they could be the third best team in the AFC behind Buffalo and behind Kansas City because... I think, if anything, if there's one team, I said it last year, and I'll say it again, if there's one team that could really give Kansas City a fit, I'm talking physically dominate them, it's the Indianapolis Colts, because this isn't your typical dome team. They have a great offensive line. Quentin Nelson has really changed the entire atmosphere of this entire franchise. Name a time when you've heard about an offensive lineman really being the face of your franchise. You don't. It's very uncommon. And that's exactly what he's become in Indianapolis. Frank Reich, they love him there. They think he's doing some really good things there. I really like what I saw from the Colts last year. Now, I think they're going to be different because they have a quarterback who can take games over. And I think Carson Wentz needed that because Carson has much better around him now than he did probably the last 2 or 3 years with the Philadelphia Eagles. A stronger offensive line. Because if you watched them last year, I'm counting the three. And at 2.5, he's running for his life. Everybody wants to blame Carson for having such a struggling year. But what about the five guys up front? Who did he have to throw the football to on a consistent basis? Now, he has an older wide receiver in T.Y. Hilton. I think Trey Burton still plays for the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah.
Has a serviceable tight end. Michael Pittman's a young receiver. Has a running game to lean on. Really hadn't had that since 2017. And he knows Frank Reich. Remember when he last played for Frank Reich, Carson was an MVP candidate. We could potentially get those vibes back. And he has a defense that can get him the football back. So I want to see what the Colts do. They may add a pass rusher. They could bolster up that offensive line because they did lose Anthony Costanzo to retirement. So I go in that direction right there.
See, I feel the vibes of the Arizona Cardinals. I'm waiting to see Kyler Murray take that next step. I think you're going to see San Francisco. They're definitely going to take a step backwards. And here's the thing. You have the Rams who make this move for Matt Stafford. And I like Matt Stafford. But I've seen a lot of Matt Stafford football. And I've never seen Matthew Stafford take a team to the next level, to take them to that next zone, to become a Super Bowl contender. And if you're asking him, they've already have a lot of pieces around there. But have the Rams seem like a team that's just right on the cusp? They look like a team that needs somebody to put them on their back and to take them over. Aaron Donald can only do so much. And is Matthew Stafford at this point of his career that guy? How much better is he than Jared Goff at this point? And like, that's...
I'll tell you this. You know what the Rams need? The Rams need a true number one wide receiver. Just imagine if they got a guy like Chris Godwin. Bam. He's penciled in as your number one. Say if they got a guy like a Corey Davis. Bam. He's penciled in as your number one. It's no disrespect to Cooper Kupp. It's no disrespect to Josh Reynolds or Robert Woods. But I'm a former defensive player, Mikey. And those three guys, they don't scare my defense. They don't scare. I'm talking about a guy where we have to circle in on them and we have to do everything we can to limit them, double them, take them away, force the quarterback to look elsewhere to beat us. Look, we're taking away your number one, but you're going to beat us with your number two or your number three, because you put Cooper Kupp on any other team, he's probably a second or third option at best. So right now, you know, I'm giving Seattle the slight nod because they have a true number one wide receiver in DK Metcalf. Granted, he runs the same routes over and over again. No disrespect. Sorry, DK, I love you. I just had to get that out.
he does.
Look,
love him.
Look, the Rams have the defense. Seattle has the stronger offense. But if Seattle can put two and two together, they're a scary thought.
Absolutely. But the Cardinals are the only one with the quarterback that could change the game with his arm and with his legs, have a true number one, if not the number one receiver in the league. And they have a defense that at the very least knows how to keep a game close. They need to learn how to win. It's the hardest thing in the NFL is learning to put it all together. They're a team that should have been in the playoffs last year. If it wasn't for them dropping a game, the Bears don't back into the NFC playoff picture and losing and embarrassing themselves on Nickelodeon, which we will never forgive them for disrespecting Chicago on the greatest network ever. But with that, I really like that. And the other team I'm vibing with, my brother, is the Miami Dolphins. Going to be interesting to see what they do in the draft. We've seen them already make some moves, but they're a team that's right there. And I really think that we don't talk about how much of an advantage it is to play in Miami, especially certain times of the year. So if you got a good enough defense and you got Tua who's going to hopefully develop, you get him a couple weapons, that's a team that in a division, are you trusting the Buffalo Bills to maintain? That's the thing. Are you, for a sec, you going to trust Buffalo? Okay.
I want to start with the Arizona Cardinals. I can see why you're high on them. They're getting Chandler Jones back. He's the Aaron Donald of this defense because you saw how much his impact was missed last year. They couldn't close games out. They couldn't really rush the passer. Now you also have J.J. Watt. He's probably going to be a situational pass rusher at best at this point in his career, slightly past his prime and whatnot. But I look at, you know, here's the one thing that I'm kind of concerned about with Kyler Murray. When he makes a mistake, it's almost like he doesn't try to correct the mistake. He kind of goes off to himself on the sideline while his teammates are all huddled up together. And that body language, it can really rub somebody the wrong way. I called him out for that last year, and I'm calling him out again for that. I really want to see him take that leadership role. You know, either you have it or you don't. I'm not saying you have to be a vocal leader, but by example, that's what Eli Manning was for the New York Giants. And in the Miami Dolphins, this team was pretty good last year. And you saw how stacked the AFC was due to the simple fact one team who won double-digit games was going to end up missing the playoffs. And that's the Miami Dolphins because they choked when it mattered the most. And as far as Buffalo controlling that division right now, yeah, this is their division for the taking. I know New England made a little bit of noise. They did re-sign Cam Newton, and they finally did something that they're not accustomed to, and that's spend large amounts of money to better that team, because the million-dollar question surrounding the Patriots last year was, well, what does Cam have around him? Really didn't have a number one. Now he may have one in Kendrick Bourne or Nelson Agholor.
Do the Patriots trade for Jimmy Garoppolo?
You're just full of putting me on the spot today. Come on, man. I wouldn't be opposed to it. I really.
But why? What is this thing about Jimmy Garoppolo? Look, it. I love the Rolling Meadows kid. Shout out to District 214. But what are we doing here? Like, we've seen it. Now, mind you, we've always heard the rumors of the great practices and how much Belichick loved him and that Tom Brady wanted to get rid of him. But we've seen it. Like, haven't we? Have we seen it?
Yeah, we have seen it. Here's my thing on Jimmy. I don't know if he's a guy, depending on the system. I think he will flourish more in New England under Josh McDaniels, because the thing about the Patriots is they coach you to your strengths, okay? Like, if you're a running back that isn't necessarily the guy that can catch the ball out the backfield, because that's what the Patriots pride themselves on, the check down, those running backs catching the ball out the backfield, they're not going to put you in that situation. Or if you're a strictly man-to-man cover corner, they're going to coach you to your strengths. So that's that. And I even said with the Patriots when they signed Cam, look, they're not going to throw him into the fire like that because it's a weird offseason. COVID just kind of wiped everything away. There was really no training camp or anything like that. So they were going to run the football until he became more comfortable. But I don't want my quarterback running the football 14 and 15 times a game.
Oh, Christian, I can do this all day, man. This has been amazing. For anybody who's watching us on YouTube, on Facebook, wherever you get your favorite way of watching a podcast, we are doing this live with video. My man Strongside decided that to show the moneymaker, and I'm like, you know what? Hell with it. Let's bring out the camera, and you guys can see this ugly mug. What else you got? What you working on? So we got the draft. You're working on the mock drafts. We have it. We got the real draft coming out in a few weeks. What are you working on over at the website? Plug your stuff. This is the time. Be a show.
Yeah.
Shamelessly.
Yeah, definitely. You guys can log on to the website, the Daily Blitz.blog, where we try to update it as much as we possibly can. I know one thing that I've kind of been monitoring. It's expected. Larry Fitzgerald is expected to call it a career this year. And you know what? At this point in his career, he has nothing left to prove. He's done it all. Probably the most durable and most consistent, one of the more consistent wide receivers in the National Football League. And he just knew his role, you know, within an offense, even as he got older. So, you know, I'll eventually give my take on that and probably be on with you talking about that.
Where does he rank amongst wide receivers? Is he top 10 of all time? Where do you think Fitz ends up falling when we look back 15 years from now?
Well, you know, he may be one of the fastest I've seen. You know, look, I've seen a lot of great ones. Randy, Terrell Owens, Marvin Harrison, man, who else? Calvin Johnson. I mean, Calvin Johnson was a freak of nature, you know, and he retired at the physical prime of his career. You know, you might have to put Larry in that top five. I mean, always made plays, just always knew where to be at the right time. So that's one thing for sure. He has nothing left to prove. He and Drew Brees are going to go into the Hall of Fame together in 2026, and that's going to be a pretty fun class to look forward to. Just these mock drafts, man, and anything that's coming up in the NFL and in college football as well. I know the schedules come out next month, so we'll probably do a little take on that, and then I always do a little take on what's going on in college football as far as those schedules are concerned. Just some of the things that are catching my eye. But back to the shameless plug, yeah, you can log on to the website, thedailyblitz.blog. You can log on to Facebook, type in The Daily Blitz in the search engine, and like the Facebook fan page. Follow us on Twitter at dailyblitz_61 and on Instagram at @thedailyblitz_61. I know, man, it's a lot.
And you're also doing a show on Instagram, right?
Yeah, I actually have a show that I do on Instagram. I started it last year through IGTV. It's called What's on Tap. This is where I look back at what caught my eye in college football, and then I look ahead to what's on tap in the NFL the following day, the next day. it's pretty fun, man. Just giving my thoughts on certain things. And yeah, it's a lot of fun. I can't wait to get back into that in the regular season.
Before I let you go, what do the Bears do at 20?
I'm going to say offensive line. Shore up that offensive line, fix that up, because that's been a problem as well.
So they can't do a reover and get Patrick Mahomes?
Look, no, they can't if, do they that? Could, if they could, it would happen.
Do they get Russell Wilson? Does Russell Wilson start the season as a Bear, or is he a Seahawk come September?
I think he'll be a Seahawk. It seems like are pretty convinced, and they're sold on.
You guys can follow me on the universe. I'm on Twitter at Mike M Media, Instagram Mike Mercado Media. The show's on Twitter at Couch Sports Talk. Russell Wilson won't be a Bear, and I'm still a Bears fan. So there's still that. A Bears fan.
And just so you know, when the show hits YouTube, I will put this link on the website. So be on the lookout for
me. Yeah, Christian. Honestly, man, super proud of you. Thank you so much for jumping on. We'll do this again as we get closer to training camp, and if something crazy breaks on draft night, maybe we'll do something post draft, and we'll talk about the craziness that happened as some of these young men are going to have their lives changed forever. Some of these franchises will have their franchises, their careers, their seasons, the entire history of said franchise will change after that night. And with that, there's no better person that's going to be covering it like a blanket, like my brother Christian Simpson over at Daily Blitz. My brother, thank you for everything. You're the man.
Thank you. Nah, you're the best. Thank you. Follow him. Watch his show. Keep up with him. It's one of the best shows, if not the best, on radio. And watch it. Follow along. If you guys can support me, follow my man.
Thank you, left side.
Absolutely. Strong side.